This is Childhood Matters, presented by Interactive Parenting Media.
Childhood Matters.
For parents and everyone else who cares for or about kids.
We are family. Get up, everybody, and sing.
Here's your host, Rona Renner.
Good morning and welcome to Childhood Matters. Did you brush your kids' teeth last night? And how about flossing? Do you have kids who love to brush? Or are you more likely to have to bribe, cajole, or beg your little ones morning and night? Each February, the American Dental Association sponsors National Children's Dental Health Month to raise awareness about the importance of good oral health. Developing good habits at an early age and regular dental visits helps children get a good start on a lifetime of healthy teeth and gums. I'm Nurse Rona, and I'm here each week to present important topics to parents, grandparents, foster parents, childcare providers, big sisters, big brothers, or anyone who cares for and about children. You know, there are many questions parents have about taking care of their children's teeth, like when to let them brush by themselves, when to start flossing, and does it really matter if kids love to eat sweets? We would like to hear from you this morning, and we promise not to make you feel bad if you haven't yet taken your three-year-old to the dentist. Not everyone knows that the recommendation is to take your child to the dentist by the age of one and to start caring for their teeth right from the start. Over 19% of children ages 2 to 19 have untreated cavities, which can lead to pain, school loss, and serious dental disease. We would like to hear about your ability to find a pediatric dentist, and we'll give you some tips about what you can do if you can't afford care. If you want to be part of the conversation today, call us at 877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-5437. You can also email us at info@childhoodmatters.org. Joining us in the studio is Dr. Leticia Mendoza-Sobel. She's a pediatric dentist in private practice and assistant professor at the University of the Pacific School of Dentistry. She has also participated with the Children's Hospital craniofacial team in Oakland and has donated her services for underserved children at La Clinica de la Raza in Oakland. Dr. Mendoza-Sobel loves working with children, and her storytelling and distraction techniques make dental visits more enjoyable for the patients she works with. She also likes to write children's books. Dr. Leticia Mendoza-Sobel, welcome back to Childhood Matters.
Thank you, Rona. It is a pleasure to be here.
It's really nice to see you again, and thank you for the lovely goodies you brought us for people who call in today. We have toothbrushes, toothpaste. We have some wonderful things. We have strawberry and banana toothpaste with little finger things to clean young children's teeth. So we'll let you know what we have when you give us a call this morning. Let's start off with understanding a little bit about why it's so important for young children to get good dental care as early as possible and what some of the consequences are when parents don't learn how to care for children's teeth. You know, people know they have to bring their child to the doctor and get their immunizations and get the well child checkup, but it seems like there are parents who don't really understand the importance of that early dental care.
Of course, early dental care is very important so we can prevent problems that can arise later and affect in many ways children. When we talk about dental decay, we are talking about transmissible disease and infectious disease, but it can be prevented. As a matter of fact, parents can begin to reduce the risk for the children by not sharing saliva. Remember that children are born without the bacteria that causes cavities, and they acquire the bacteria when the parents, grandparents, caregivers share the saliva with them. So this is a big risk, the sharing of the saliva.
So let's give an example of that, because as a grandma, I still remember, you know, what I've done when my grandchildren were young and my kids. Sharing saliva could be I'm feeding them their food, and I put the spoon in my mouth, I put the spoon in their mouth, and we use the same spoon, we use the same, some people use the same toothbrush. That's what you mean, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So sharing saliva is no. And, you know, when we talk about early prevention or good oral health, everything starts at home. And the best way to start is to take your child to a dentist by age one, as Rona was saying. And when you go to a dentist, you are going to establish a dental home. A dental home means having a place that has in mind your child's oral health care. And they are going to help you, to guide you, and to make sure that your child doesn't get dental decay.
Right. And, you know, I think I read that statistic in the opening that over 19% of children have untreated cavities. And sometimes if people don't have dental insurance and if they're struggling financially, they kind of let it go for a while. And there could be real consequences to that.
Yes. So what you can do at home is before that, I would like to tell you that the process that involves the cavities, it is the combination of bacteria in the mouth and with the sugars in the diet that produce acid. And the acid is going to dissolve the outer surface of the teeth. It's going to dissolve the minerals. And when enough minerals are lost, the tooth is going to break down and produce a cavity. So if we have here bacteria and sugars and teeth, and if you have no access to dental insurance, something that you can do is to brush your children's teeth at least 2 times a day. Why is that important? By brushing the teeth, you are going to eliminate the bacteria. And also, if you use fluoride toothpaste, the fluoride is going to make those teeth more resistant to the acid attacks. And third, if you reduce the sugar intake at home, then will be good protection for children. Just by looking at the three factors that are involved in the cavity process, the bacteria, the teeth, and the sugars.
Well, I think this is important too, that parents sometimes will, you know, it's so easy to feed our children things with sweets. It's all around us. Again, I know as a grandma, you know, sometimes I'll give my grandson that healthy cookie, you know, that other sweet things. I want to mention right up front about juice. I think it's just really important that we get the message out that, first of all, people back in the day when I was raising my kids, we used to put juice in bottles. And kids, or in sippy cups, and kids would have that, you know, their teeth would be soaking in the juice. So we really recommend not putting juice in bottles, right?
That is correct. And also, we should try to avoid as well sodas, because some people put sodas in the bottle or in the sippy cup. And the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends only 4 to 6 ounces of juice a day. So parents, don't feel that guilty. You can give a little cup with breakfast and after that, brush, brush, brush. Or you can give it with dinner and after dinner, brush, brush, brush.
And also a lot of people put, you know, sort of like half orange juice, half water, or, you know, so they dilute it a little bit so it's not so strong.
That's correct. But again, we are exposing the mouth to the sugars. I think it'll be better if you drink it at once with your meal and then rinse and brush.
And that's enough for the day. Well, those are the kinds of things we're talking about today. I'm sure there are a lot of people who have questions and you don't get a chance to either ask the dentist or you forget because you're so busy making sure your child feels comfortable at the dentist. So we would love to hear from you. 1-877-372-KIDS. Let's start off this morning with our live line. We have Heather with us from Benicia. Hi, Heather.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. And how old are your kids, Heather?
My kids are 5, 4, and 1.
Uh-huh. So you have a lot of teeth brushing to do.
I do. And it is a little challenging, but we do it. And, I was listening to your show earlier, and we just went to our another dental visit this past week, actually, and with my middle one, actually with all of them, I thought I was ahead of the curve by taking them to the dentist by the age of three. And my first one has zero cavities and fillings. My second one has seven fillings now.
And this is the four-year-old.
Yes, exactly. My four-year-old. But he was three at the time.
Yeah.
And so by the first checkup, he had seven cavities.
Wow. And you thought, how did that happen, right?
I did. she educated me, luckily. Well, of course. And she said, you know, by the age of one, because I thought the information out there was by the age of three.
It used to be, Heather. I just want to acknowledge that it actually used to be. I remember all the pediatricians saying back in the day that take them by the age of three. So it wasn't – many, many parents don't realize that the recommendation is at one. So you're not alone.
Yeah. Okay.
You're not alone. Now, why do you think – did the dentist say why he or she thought there were so many cavities?
Well, a couple reasons. One, his teeth happen to be right next to each other. And so, you know, getting we were okay with flossing, but not great, honestly.
Yeah.
And then that's where all the cavities were in between his teeth. And then genetics. So I remembered that age, you know, five or younger, I had a crown because he ended up getting a crown. And she said, you know, if you had probably thin enamel, I don't really know exactly the physiology behind it, but I had a lot of cavities when I was young, and she said, you know, it's probably genetics, and then the fact that his teeth are right next to each other. And my baby, who is one, her teeth have come in, and they're right next to each other, and I made an appointment right away.
Good. Well, you see, you're learning, but this is very interesting. Let's ask Dr. Mendoza-Sobel about this, because I know that in my family, none of us got cavities until about 13 or 14, and it seemed like there was a genetic component to it. Is there something that makes sense there?
Yes. Good morning, Heather, and thank you for calling this morning. Yes, there are some factors that are going to make children more prone to cavities. As you know, Heather, you have three children. By now, you know that each one of them is different. And the fact that your child that is 4 years old has all these teeth together, that makes it more difficult to brush and to floss. And therefore, the bacteria accumulates and thrives when there is no spacing in between the teeth, and the saliva cannot wash away the foods and the bacteria. And also, there are some families that are more prone to cavities. It could be the saliva, but also could be the quality of the dental enamel. Some of the conditions known as enamel hypoplasia. Enamel hypoplasia is insufficient enamel formation. And when that happens, the teeth are more prone to cavities. So the predisposition and also the fact that there's crowding and that little children sometimes don't want to brush and we don't do a good job is a good combination for cavities.
Yeah. Yeah. So now I think the trick is, Heather, is how do you manage, because with your five-year-old even, the recommendation is that you continue to brush their teeth. You know, your five-year-old might do some brushing and then you kind of finish it up. So do you find that you could get them to brush, that five-year-old, that four-year-old? What are your tricks on that?
Honestly, my four-year-old was much more challenging in that way. And, you know, probably that's why we didn't get in there and get into the back and all that good stuff. You know, just like everything, you just make it part of the routine and make it, you know, you just have to be consistent and just say, this is what we're doing. And
yeah.
I mean, sometimes I would be on the ground with him in my lap with my legs folded and screaming. And I'd say, okay, you're screaming. You got your mouth open. I'm brushing your teeth. But I just did it, you know, and now it's just as you know, much of a routine as putting PJs on. So
I think that's the key. We put seatbelts on our kids in the car. You know, it's a bedtime routine. And I know for me, I always used to say, let's have the story right after. So they had something to look for. Any other advice from you, Leticia?
Yes. Heather, I think this is a very important aspect that you just mentioned. Children sometimes resist to the toothbrushing and the flossing. And the fact that you get to the ground with him and do it is a wonderful thing. I would like to tell parents that they should not be afraid to brush their children's teeth. They worry that if they are brushing their infant's teeth, they are going to get traumatized and they won't be able to brush ever because you make them cry. But the more often you do it, the more used to they get to that. So I think what you said is just wonderful. And parents just brush their teeth. If they cry, it's great because they open the mouth big. And you don't have to fight that much.
Well, our goal is that they won't be crying all the time. So I think the idea there is that we do get as we do it more often and make it a game and make it fun. And I think you brushing your teeth and showing them, you could all do it together. Heather, you know, I'm sorry that your son had to go through that. But, you know, you've gotten early care now, and I'm sure that he'll be really happy to do whatever he can to make his teeth healthy. We're going to send you some treats. First of all, Dr. Mendoza brought us some chewing gum for us adults, too. It's a company that has xylitol spray, it's called, and xylitol is actually good for your teeth. And this is a gum for you to chew as you're trying to reduce your stress during the day. And then we have some toothpaste and some other good things that we can send you for your kids. The very young kids don't get fluoride in their toothpaste, right?
That's right.
But once they can really spit out well, then you could start using fluoride?
I would like to mention about fluoride. The use of the fluoride on young children is going to depend on the risk assessment for the disease. So that's why we want to emphasize the first visit by age one.
So let's go, when we're finished with the break, let's talk a little bit more about fluoride because okay. I think people don't understand a lot about it. And I want to thank you, Heather, for calling in and talking to us about your kids. And we'll send you some goodies. We also have a book to send you called Open Wide, Tooth School Inside. It's for older kids. I think your five-year-old will enjoy it by Lori Keller. And thanks a lot for calling us this morning.
Thank you, and great show.
Have a good day, for
okay,
sure. So call us, let us know how you're doing and what's going on with your teeth. Go ahead and tell us a little bit more about fluoride, Dr. Mendoza.
Fluoride is very important to prevent dental decay. It makes the teeth more resistant to the acid attacks of the teeth. Remember I mentioned that once the tooth loses minerals, then it's going to be weakened and then the cavity will happen. Well, fluoride will prevent this loss of minerals. By brushing every day with fluoride and drinking water from the faucet that has fluoride in it, then we'll be helping to prevent dental decay.
So does everyone have fluoride in their water?
No, not everyone. So
so here locally in the Bay Area, most people do?
Yes. Oakland, San Francisco.
Uh-huh. And so how do people find out? They have to call the water department?
Yes, they call the water department. And then or they can go in the computer if they want and put water in fluoride in Oakland, let's say, or San Francisco.
And so is there any downside to using fluoride in the toothpaste? Is there any problem with that?
There is no problem. I think, again, as I mentioned before, the use of fluoride for very young children is going to depend on the risk assessment for oral disease. If the child has a very, very low risk, let's say an infant or an 18-month-old, The fluoride is going to be based on the risk assessment. Maybe the child won't need the fluoride at that time.
Good. If you have questions about that, give us a call. We're talking about good oral health. And in a moment, we'll take your call. Today, we're talking with Dr. Leticia Mendoza-Sobel. She's a pediatric dentist in private practice and an assistant professor at the University of the Pacific School of Dentistry. And we're talking with you, 1-877-372-KIDS. Call us with your questions. We have Robbie on the line from Oakland. Hi, Robbie. Good morning. Hi, Robbie.
Hello.
Hi, you're there. There you are. Good morning to you. Okay. Hi. It's been a while. Nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, likewise. Likewise. Interesting topic this morning. I did start taking my kids to the dentist right around the 1 year, the age of, 1 year old. And, so far, so good. One question that I had, though, well, my daughter, she's a thumb sucker, and we could kind of tell even before the first time we went to the dentist when we noticed that her top front teeth might be kind of, pushed out a little bit due to her thumb sucking. And the dentist did say, yeah, she probably will, need braces. So one of my questions is that, what's the earliest age that a kid can get braces?
And how old is she now, Robbie?
She's four now.
She's four now. And so she still has her baby teeth, right?
Yeah, and I know it's going to be a while, but...
It's a good question. Because I want to see what Dr. Mendoza has to say, because... some children suck their thumb when they're very little, but then they stop. Is there a problem with thumb sucking? And when do kids go for orthodontic care?
Okay. Good morning, Robbie, and thank you for calling. Thumb sucking, we're talking about non-nutritive habits. And when they use the thumb and they have the thumb sucking habit, they are going to put pressure on the bone, and this can be distorted. Also, the thumb sucking will alter the relationship of the top and bottom teeth. And it depends on how often and for how long they do it.
And how strong they do it,
yeah,
right?
The intensity.
Yeah.
Your child is four. I don't know if you have tried to stop the thumb sucking habit. And there are a few tips that we can give you. But the early age for orthodontic treatment is going to vary from patient to patient, depending on the type of the problem. One of the early treatment that can be done is when children have a posterior crossbite. That means that the top jaw is very narrow. And you can see that sometimes on children that have a thumb-sucking habit. As Rona was saying, if they do it very strongly, then the upper narrow palate will be showing. And let's say a child that needs an orthodontic evaluation usually is going to be around 7.5 or 8. But a patient that has a thumb sucking habit, usually also they have what we call an anterior open bite. As you mentioned, your child, her teeth are pushed out. So that allows the teeth not to touch the top teeth with the bottom teeth, they don't touch. That is called an anterior crossbite. And it's ideally to stop the habit before the permanent teeth grow in. That will be the best time to take her to an evaluation with an orthodontist. That doesn't mean that she needs treatment.
You just need to start talking about it.
Yes.
Robbie, do you feel like you could help her wean from the thumb sucking at this point?
Well, I'm definitely open to any ideas.
Yeah.
But she's...
This is her comfort zone, huh?
Oh, yeah. She's very persistent. I mean, it's almost like, trying to take her... thumb out of her mouth sometime is almost like trying to pry a nail out of a piece of wood or something.
Yeah, yeah. And, again, children's temperaments are such where, sometimes it's really that self-soothing they really like it to soothe and they feel comfortable. You know, same thing with pacifiers. Some kids wind up using pacifiers, and it's a little easier in a way to stop the pacifier, because you could say you just get the pacifier when you start off by saying it's just in your bed or it's just at this time, and then the other times you don't let them have it. Well, the thumb is different because it's part of their hand. So it's much more challenging. Any tips for Robbie, Dr. Mendoza?
Yes, I would like to ask Robbie, how often does his child sucks the thumb? It is during the day or is at night? Remember that if she keeps her thumb at night, it's kind of unconscious and is when things are going to be very difficult to break.
But it sounds like she's doing it during the day too, right, Robbie?
It's within a 24-hour period, any time. I mean, morning she'll get up and first thing in the morning start sucking her thumb. So there's no certain time. Or
yeah.
Day or...
Does she have does she have a little lovey also? Does she have like a stuffed animal or a blanket that she likes to hold for comfort?
She does. A little bunny, a little stuffed bunny rabbit, little stuffed, you know, bunny rabbit doll or whatever.
Because sometimes they go hand together, you know, the blanket and the thumb. And now we have to try and get them to just use the blanket without the thumb. That's one idea. Any other thoughts, Dr. Mendoza?
You can make a chart, Robbie, and tell your daughter that every day that she doesn't suck the thumb for, you know, a period of time, you can put a star on the calendar. And when she gets like maybe two or three rows of stars, you can give her a prize. It doesn't have to be something really big. Maybe you can hide a little blanket so she doesn't have the association with the thumb sucking on the blanket. And also you can do is at night when you go to sleep, when she goes to sleep, hold her and hold her thumb in your hand and tell a story. And there are also some what we call finger covers. Finger cover is used when a person injures a thumb or a finger. You can get it at the pharmacy, and then you put it over the thumb, and that will is not that when with that in her mouth, she's not going to get the satisfaction or pleasure that we get when we have a habit.
You know, and I think the parts that I agree with are about making a plan. And I think she's old enough to make a plan with her that this is something that we need to change. And I think having the dentist talk to her about why that's important can really help. The only piece I have some difference with is that I wouldn't take away her lovey at this time, because I think that might leave her with too little comfort. So you might be able to first say, you can have your blankie, but we're going to work on you not sucking your thumb. And I like the chart and the stars, and it might be after, you know, one row of stars, just to give her that satisfaction. But to talk to her about why she needs to stop, because she's old enough, and how we're going to do this together. And we're going to come up with a plan. And do you have any ideas? Because four-year-olds sometimes have ideas. But I think she, you know, her mom and you have to really talk about how to do this in a way that's consistent without her freaking out, but also being really clear that this is something important for her health. And I think the dentist can really help you there, Robbie. You're such a great papa, and you're so compassionate towards your children that I think you probably also don't want to make her sad, right?
Oh, no, daddy's little angel.
That's right, daddy's little angel.
She has my heart.
She has your heart. And so what the problem could be also is that it's hard sometimes to set those limits, too, when that happens. We'll send you some goodies. We have a wonderful little toothbrush for her and some toothpaste. And if you need more help or support on this, Robbie, you let me know, okay?
Okay, I appreciate it. Thanks so much, Rhonda. Thank you to all your guests.
Oh, thank you so much. I think that you're doing a really great job. And keep it up, Robbie. It's always wonderful to hear from you.
Okay, thank you. Talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Childhood Matters.
Issues and concerns surrounding our children's lives.
Pick up the phone at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Don't change that dial. You've been listening to Childhood Matters. Find out more at childhoodmatters.org.
So we're talking about good oral health, and I think I'd love to talk with Megan Braslin now. Megan is with the Health Trust in Santa Clara County, and she's joining us by phone to talk to, with us a little bit about what's going on in Santa Clara County. Hi, Megan.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for joining us. I know the Health Trust does some really wonderful work. They have clinics there. Tell us a little bit about what you're seeing and what's going on in Santa Clara County and any suggestions you have for helping parents start early with good oral care.
Sure. So just a little bit about our program. This is actually a new program that the Health Trust started up back again in September. And we are targeting areas in the North County, in Mountain View, Palo Alto, Sunnyvale. So we go to elementary schools, and we go to preschools, daycares. We even actually go inside people's homes. We do presentations for both adults and children. We discuss the four habits in having a healthy smile, such as brushing, flossing, a healthy diet, regular visits to the dentist, and we even talk about the importance of fluoride for the children.
So you're not only having kids come to you at your clinics, but you're really going out into the community. And what do you see, Megan, in terms of some of the barriers to the things you just said and the things that Dr. Mendoza-Sobel has been talking about, you know, flossing, brushing, healthy eating? What are some of the barriers to that?
Some of the barriers that we do encounter with a lot of the families out when we're doing our presentation is dental insurance. We actually see that a lot of them don't have dental insurance, and so that's really the part where our clinic really plays in, and it's absolutely amazing because they will work with these families and, you know, help them, and even if they don't have dental insurance. So they really get in there and, you know, make it a positive experience for the children.
So that's the key. And I think, Dr. Mendoza, you know, you're in private practice, but you've also gone to Clinica and other places, Clinica de la Raza in Oakland and other places. There are people who can't get that health insurance. Are you finding that there are places available?
Oh, yes. At the University of the Pacific, the School of Dentistry in San Francisco, in our pediatric dental clinic, we see patients that don't have insurance, patients that have medical insurance, and also sometimes when there's a case that needs care and the parents cannot afford it, we have sometimes a grant that the clinic has, and we apply that grant towards patient care. And also the Clinica de la Raza in Oakland has a clinic that has access for children with no insurance and for if they have medical as well.
Yes, that really makes a big difference. And I think Megan, you're talking about going into the schools. I think that should be part of the curriculum. Are the teachers very receptive to this?
Oh, definitely, especially when it's February, when it's Oral Health Month. They, you know, the kids really, too, if you just stand there and you talk to them and, you know, they get bored if you have nothing to show them. So what we do is we actually bring in giant teeth, models, giant toothbrushes, and we make it interactive. So all the kids looking at everything, they're really drawn into it, and we bring goodie bags for them. So it's a really positive experience, and we try to make it a lot of fun. So they're interested in wanting to go to the dentist, and they see it as a positive experience rather than, you know, being scared and not wanting to go.
I think that's the key. And, you know, I think that parents have a lot of their own trauma that they bring to the plate sometimes, to the table, so to speak, of their own experience having gone to the dentist. I know, you know, back in the day when we went to the dentist, it wasn't fun. You know, no one tried to make it fun. And I was the kind of person who didn't even get any anesthesia when I had cavities. They would just drill it. I still do that sometimes. I don't know. But it really wasn't considered a fun experience. And so I think that parents are learning that it doesn't have to be traumatic. And I know that Dr. Mendoza makes her office really fun. I've been to the Health Trust clinics. And do they still have that movie theater there?
They have the theater. They have video games. flat screen TVs. I mean, I'm jealous. I want to go there.
Right. We need that for adults just as well. How can people find out about the Health Trust?
Well, okay, you can, if you're interested in setting up a home meeting or would like to come talk, we would like for us to go into your elementary school or preschools, you can give me a call at 408-961-9830, or you can also visit us at healthtrust.org and see our oral health campaign that we're doing with partnering with First Five at firstfivekids.org.
Great, and I think that's a good reminder that people can go to the First Five in their county here in California and ask the First Five commission or ask the staff there, how can I get dental care, oral health care for my child, because there are programs, and I hope people throughout the country who listen to this can also find it. Talk to your pediatrician, find out what they know, and if you can't get good oral care, make sure also to let your pediatrician take a look in your mouth, because they're being trained also to look for any problems. Thank you so much, Megan Breslin with the Health Trust in Santa Clara County. Have a great day. Thank you so much. We also have a call now from, we have Padmini Partha Sarathy with us, and she's with Contra Costa County, and she's the interim manager of the Children's Oral Health Program and the Life Course Initiative Coordinator for Contra Costa County Health Services Family, Maternal, and Child Health Programs. Good morning, Padmini.
Good morning.
Well, tell us a little bit about how you're reaching out in the community with good oral health care.
So our Children's Oral Health Program in Contra Costa County, we've been in existence since 1977, and we provide oral health preventive services in schools all over Contra Costa County. We go into the schools and provide oral health education and instruction about how to brush teeth for children in kindergarten through sixth grade. And then we actually do oral health assessments on the children to take a quick look and see if they have any cavities, or we ask them if they're having any pain. And then we make referrals for them. We send home an oral health report card with them to their parents so that we can let their parents know if they have any dental needs that need to be taken care of. And then we also go back to the school and we put dental sealants on the teeth of the children that we identify need dental sealants. Some dental sealants are a great way to prevent dental decay.
Let me ask hard varnish too. Let me ask Dr. Mendoza about those two things. We have dental sealants that people are hearing about and fluoride varnish. Tell us why some dentists suggest that for their kids.
Okay. Dental sealants are wonderful to prevent cavities because they block the bacteria and the food on the groove, collecting on the groove surfaces of the back teeth. 80% of the cavities form on the back teeth, on the chewing surfaces. When we place sealants, the sealants are going to block the entrance of bacteria and food into those deep crevices and grooves. And they are very, very, very important that we do it for children at around age 6 when they get the first permanent molars. And they are very successful. And I have to say that the key on sealants is to do a good maintenance. When children come back for the checkup appointment, we are making sure that the sealants are intact. We make sure that they haven't broken down, because then they are going to act like a trap. A well-maintained sealant is a successful treatment to prevent cavities.
And what about the fluoride varnish? It sounds like I'm getting ready to paint.
Okay, well, it is. Varnish is a fluoride, sodium fluoride, high concentration. And that is used for children that are very young and they cannot, let's say, hold a tray in the mouth. The fluoride varnish is used to with children that have very high risk for dental decay or children that have cavities over and over. So we try to do the fluoride varnish every 3 months. And it's not only to do the fluoride, but at that visit, we counsel the parents. We ask them, okay, what is happening? Let's review your diet. Let's check the brushing. Where is the bacteria holding? What are you drinking? Is your mouth dry? Is Do you drink enough water? So all those things are important to consider.
Wonderful. Thank you. Padmini, would you give us a quick word for pregnant women? I see that you've worked also with maternal and care and prenatal care. Anything you want to say about the importance of care during pregnancy?
Yeah, definitely. So we know from the research that good oral health during pregnancy is really important. Particularly, we know that gum disease has been linked to delivering preterm and to low birth weight. And so we really want to ensure that women have a dental exam during pregnancy and have any gum disease treated. And particularly women who, we encourage the women we work with who are at Medi-Cal to be seen during pregnancy, because often that's the only time that they have health insurance or have dental insurance.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a good time to go and get care. I know that I once cracked a tooth after I gave birth, and I think I just wasn't getting enough calcium. I don't know. And I think people are much more careful now during pregnancy to get good vitamins and get good advice about food and healthy eating. I think we're going to move on. Padmini, thank you so much for the work you're doing in Contra Costa County.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, bye-bye. Let's take a listen now to what some parents have to say about taking care of their kids' teeth.
Hi, I'm Associate Producer Lorenzo Plazola here at Habitat Children's Museum in Berkeley, interviewing some parents about oral health. When did you first take your child for their first dentist visit?
Should be about 3 and a half, so next June.
We went to the dentist just before 2 years.
When do you think is the appropriate age for a child to start, you know, going?
Probably around 3.
When they first get teeth?
Oh, well, according to the dentist, she'll be about 3 and a half, or just shy of 3 and a half, and that's the age they told me.
How do you get your child to brush their teeth?
Well, they're not allowed to go in the bathroom without someone, so I'm telling them, let's go in the bathroom and brush your teeth, and they run to the bathroom.
So we went from bribing to his favorite characters, Dora and Diego's, watching him brush his teeth with characters on the toothbrush.
Make it fun. Fun toothbrush, fun toothpaste. In fact, just today, she ran up this morning while I'm flossing and wants a piece of floss, and that's typical. Whatever I'm doing, she's a part of.
We talk a lot about sugar bugs. He doesn't like the idea of having sugar bugs in his mouth, so. But we also have a toothbrush that lights up, and we just try to brush our teeth with him to try to make it fun, and we let him try to do it for a while. But it's, you know, it's a struggle. There are definitely days when he does not want to do it.
And finally, are there any foods that you try to keep your kid from eating, any foods that you want them to avoid?
Probably a lot of sugars, sugary stuff like candy, and I dilute his juice.
A lot of like sweets and stuff, they shouldn't, like, a lot of candy, shouldn't eat that. Once in a while, I think it's okay.
Well, we no longer do raisins and Fig Newtons, I'll tell you that. After he ate those for a while, I didn't really think about it. Even with brushing, I suddenly found that he had stuff all in his gums. So we no longer do Fig Newtons or raisins.
Also awesome. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Try the best you can, and, you know, you hope it's going to stick.
Thank you so much. For Childhood Matters, I'm Lorenzo Plazola.
Thank you, Lorenzo, and thank you to the parents. Let's correct first some of it. I think it's good to get the message out again. We've said it many times that it used to be that you take your child around age 3 or 4, but it's recommended now that by age 1 that you've taken your child to see a pediatric dentist. And if you don't have health insurance, dental insurance, check and see how you can find a clinic that does this kind of dentistry. Dr. Mendoza-Sobel, what else did you hear that you want to comment on?
The fact that the parents try to make the brushing and flossing fun by using, special characters, special toothbrushes. And I think it's great because children need to be distracted. And something that I think is great is that they are modeling for the children. They see them brushing and they want to be brushed. And also the parent had mentioned that he was flossing, and then the little one brought a piece of floss because she wanted to floss also. And as the last person say, and I love this, it says, try the best you can. And it's, for everybody, we should keep trying the best.
Yes, I think that's really, really important. And if you have an older child and have a question, 1-877-372-KIDS. You know, we sometimes stop watching and seeing how our kids are brushing. You know, I certainly didn't keep brushing up to age 7 or 8 or 9 when my kids were young. I didn't know to do that. Now it's recommended that you do that. But also, what about your teens? Do you ever talk to them about how they're flossing? Do you notice that the dental floss never gets used? Do you see teens at all, Dr. Mendoza?
Yes, we do. Uh-huh. And it's very challenging. I tell the parents that they need to practice with their baby so they have enough practice. So when they become teenagers, they can brush and floss for them again.
I can just imagine that, yeah. Brushing and flossing for a teenager. I don't know if that's going to work so well. I don't think it's going to work. But there is a motivation as they get older to want their mouth to smell good, right?
Yes.
And to have their teeth look nice and bright and white. So we can talk with them. We can appeal to their vanity.
Of course.
And talk to them about how their teeth will look. And that helps. And also this xylitol gum for older kids. Tell us a little bit about xylitol.
Xylitol is a sugar that it is going to prevent cavities. Remember we talk about cavities, the bacteria, the sugar, and the teeth, right? The xylitol is a natural sugar, and it's going to inhibit the growth of the bacteria in the mouth. So if you use it every day, the bacteria in the mouth is not going to produce acid, and therefore the minerals are not going to be dissolved. We recommend xylitol at least 8 grams a day. The parents can use it on gum. They can use it on sugar, I mean the powder. They have some mints or little candies. And I know that is a little, you have to do a little investing, but overall the price, it won't be so much. And it will help to keep your children healthy.
You know, I try not to have much sugar these days. I'm trying to get off of sugar, and I have put a little bit of xylitol in my tea, and I don't feel bad about it. I just put a little bit in, and it's supposed to be a decent sugar to use just for cooking and other things as well.
Yes, and it is a natural sugar, and it has what we call low glycemic index, so we don't get that rush after we eat sugar. And also we help to keep your gut in good health. It's considered a prebiotic, not a probiotic, but a prebiotic. And it's just, let's take little baby steps. Little by little, you know, see what we can change, what can we add, what can we modify in our diets. When we talk about sugar, it's not only candy and cookies, but it's also like, for instance, white rice or pasta or white bread. That can be digested very fast, and then we get hungry, and then we eat again. And that sugar is exposed in the mouth. Something that we can look at is to eat more what we call complex carbohydrates.
Whole grains.
Yes. Bread, pasta, or maybe some more foods with protein and fiber, like beans. Beans is just a great thing for everybody.
And quinoa. Look in the store for quinoa. It's instead of using rice, you can cook quinoa that has protein, and it's good for you.
Correct.
And, of course, those vegetables.
Oh, yes.
And what about fruit? You know, fruit has natural sugars. We eat oranges and berries, apples. Those are all good, too, right?
They are great. And you have the added sources of vitamins and minerals and fiber. And it is great. I will say, I know they have the natural sugars, but an apple is better than a glass of apple juice. And an orange is better. It has like 1/3 of the calories that if we drink a glass of juice. And also has, again, the fiber and the vitamins. And when we talk about sugars, also we have to look at the frequency. If we eat 7 apples throughout the day, of course, you know, the mouth is going to be exposed to sugar. We want to cut down on the frequency of eating during the day. I will say 3 meals and 2 snacks. 2 of the snacks, 2 type of snacks that we really recommend to parents, and I think it'll make a big difference, are give your children cheese or milk and some almonds or peanuts or whole grain bread with peanut butter, and then just rinse them out with water.
Right, because they get that protein, and so it lasts them, and it helps them, you know, feel energetic and think well.
Exactly.
We have a Facebook comment from one of our listeners, Sonia, and she says, I started brushing their teeth even before their teeth came in with that little finger toothbrush from Origel. I've never made a big deal out of it, and I didn't have to be perfect at brushing. Later, they just liked having that clean mouth feel, and the brushing improved. And again, join us on Facebook if you'd like to leave any comments or any questions. And Dr. Mendoza did bring us also a sample of those little finger cots that you can use to brush your baby's teeth. And we also have something called tooth tissues, and those are also for little babies. It's has xylitol, and you can wipe off the milk from their teeth. Dr. Leticia Mendoza-Sobel, give us a last word as we're finishing our show here this morning for people who are thinking, I really should get better at this. A last word for them.
I would say always start early, taking your child to a dentist, but it's never too late. It's never too late. You can't be a good model for them and start now.
And if you want to find out about her practice, it's PiedmontPediatricDentistry.com. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're very welcome.
And thank you to our team, Felsha Zuschlag, producer, Lorenzo Plazola at the control, and my kids, Pei, Mara, Matt, and Karina. Don't forget to floss. This is Rona saying goodbye. Take care of yourself. Childhood matters, and so do you.
You've been listening to Childhood Matters.
Produced by Collins Media Services and presented by the nonprofit Interactive Parenting Media. Join us again for Childhood Matters. Find out more at childhoodmatters.org.